I want you to give me your ears for a few moments. We've had asked numerous times this week this question: why does God cause these terrible things to happen to our country? And I have listened as they've brought in the most illustrious and recognized religious leaders to answer that question. None of them have answered it properly and truthfully in Scripture, because they can't. When Pharaoh had a dream, he called in, he knew it was a vital dream, and he called in his top so-called spiritual advisors, wise men, seers. None of them could answer him. And some fellas said there's an Israelite down in jail doing hard labor for insulting one of our illustrious leaders' wives. His name's Joseph. I believe he can tell you what your dream means. So they went and got Joseph, and he told him. And when the mighty Emperor Belshazzar saw that most awesome display of God's power on the wall of his palace, the hand writing that said, "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin." He didn't know what it meant, and he called in all of his educators, and wise men, intellectuals, and they wrestled a long time with it, but they couldn't answer it. God wasn't with them. But again, he said, there's an Israelite, and one of God's chosen, that we have here that can answer it for you. And he did. And I'm going to answer it for you from the Word of God. But I'm going to change a word. Why does God... I'm not going to use the word cause. I'm going to use the word allows. A sensible man will use that, because no man can answer why God does something. And when a man takes it upon himself to answer why Almighty God does something, he better say what his Lord said. When he rejoiced in spirit and said, "My Father, Lord of heaven and earth, I thank you. You've hid these things from the wise and prudent, and you revealed it to babes." Why? Because it seemed good in your sight. That's why he did it. Everything God does, he does on purpose. There are no accidents with God. Everything God does in time, he decreed to do in eternity. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning. That's right. But if you turn to Psalm 76, verse 10, you'll find an answer for this question. In Psalm chapter 76, verse 10, "Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee." Even the wrath of man will praise God. It'll work God's purpose, accomplish God's purpose, to exalt his name. The wrath of man will praise the Lord. Starting in Eden's garden, when Adam and his wife said, "We're going to be like God. We're going to be like God." Well, they fell. But in falling, they accomplished the purpose of God. That's right. God permitted the fall. God allowed the fall. God decreed the fall, in a sense of the word. But their wrath against God worked the purpose of God, worked your salvation. If there'd been no fall, we'd all be in danger of falling right now. If there'd been no fall, there'd been no song of redemption. If there'd been no fall, there'd been no Savior. He died for sinners. If there'd been no fall, God Almighty's kingdom and covenant of grace would have never come to pass. So the wrath of man shall praise the Lord. Now watch this. And the remainder of wrath shall thou restrain. Let me tell you something. What's happening in this world, the evil, the wickedness. I know these towers fell and 5,000 people are missing. But there's that many people killed every year on our highways by drunk drivers. Nobody's complaining to God about that. By drunk drivers. 5,000 people a year killed on our highways by drunk drivers. This world is full of wrath. Full of wrath. And God's not causing it. He's restraining it. He's restraining wrath. He's keeping it under wraps. Let me show you another scripture. Now it says that the wrath of man is going to praise God, is going to work his purpose. And the rest of wrath, he's going to put the wraps on it. These fellows didn't do everything they'd like to do, or want to do, or purpose to do. They did what he let them get away with. That's true. He restrained Adolf Hitler. He restrained these men. He restrains. He puts a lid on it. They do what they will to do. But in doing what they will to do, they accomplish his purpose somehow. And the rest of their wrath and meanness, God hinders. He restrains. Let me show you that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Preacher, you're taking a different direction. I'm taking a scriptural direction. The rest of wrath, God restrains. The great extent to which wrath and evil and sin could go, God puts wraps on it for the sake of his church, for the sake of his people, for the sake of his kingdom. There's people out there he's restraining right now from coming here and robbing every one of you or killing all of us. He's restraining it. And then look at 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. The mystery of iniquity. You know what iniquity is? It's the greatest of evil, wickedness. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. It's working all over this world. Only he that now letteth will let. He lets it. He hinders it. He hinders it. He holds it in check. Only he that can hold anything in check like that. You can't handle Satan. God can. You can't handle demonic power. God can. You can't handle the evil nature in yourself. But God can restrain you. He does. Only he that letteth will let until he's taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit of God has put a lid and a damper and control on unrestrained evil in the hearts of men, in the hearts of the terrorists, in the hearts of the wicked. God's hindering it. God's restraining it. The rest of wrath he'll restrain till he be taken out of the way. Till the day Christ is coming, the Holy Spirit's leaving this world. The restraining hands run off this world, and all hell's going to break loose. You ain't seen nothing. You ain't seen nothing till he that letteth will let. Till he that hindereth is taken out of the way. Listen. And then, when he's taken out of the way, when the Holy Spirit, when God's purpose is accomplished, when his church is complete, when his redeemed, his elect are all called in, when the Holy Spirit's taken out of this world, then shall that wicked be revealed. Oh, my soul, you don't want to be here then. Whom the Lord shall consume, thank God, with the spirit of his mouth, and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all powers and signs, he's going to destroy all the Antichrist. But right now, Who is the God of this world? Who is the God of this world? Turn to 2 Corinthians 4. The Word of God tells us who is the God of this world. I know who my God is. Thomas said it for me, my Lord and my God. You know who your God is. You know who He is. We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ our Lord. I have no king but Christ. I have no Lord but Christ. You don't either. He's my Lord. He's my King, my God. My God in whom I trust. But who's the God of this world? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1, verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. In whom? The God, little g, of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Who blinded the minds of the people of this world? The God of this world. Well, who is that? Satan. Satan's the God of this world. Isn't that right? That's what it says. The God of this world blinds the minds of these people, lest the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, capital G, our God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give us the light of the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The glory of God in the face of Christ. That's the God of this world. And God restrains him too. But he's still got power. Oh, power, power. You just don't know. In fact, when the God of this world tackled the angel Michael over the body of Moses, Michael did not do battle with him. Try it. Michael said, Satan, the Lord rebuked thee. I can't handle you. You're out of my league. God will handle you, though. Who's the God of this world? Turn to Luke 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 through 8. Now listen to me. And Jesus, Luke 4, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil, Satan, God of this world, said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, it's written. Our Lord, you see, is God. But this is not the time of Satan's demise. This is not the time when our Lord Jesus Christ will silence him and destroy him and put him away. Our Lord Jesus is a man, a God in human flesh. He's our Redeemer. He's our God-man. And he's answering the only way we can answer, with the Word. The Word of God is our breastplate, our shield. Breastplate of righteousness is the Word to shield us from Satan, from his temptations, his attacks. And our Lord uses the Word. He said, it's written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, and show him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The kingdoms of the world now. Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, Syria, Lebanon, Iran, Iraq, Turkey, Greece, Italy, Spain, France, England, Russia, United States of America, kingdom of this world, Mexico, Canada, Australia, all the kingdoms of the world. This world. Not God's kingdom now. God's kingdom is not of this world. It's not meat and drink. It's righteousness and peace and the Holy Ghost. He showed him the kingdoms of this world. And he said, listen. And that all took a moment of time, just a moment of time, to show him all the kingdoms of this world. And verse 6, and the devil said, all this power will I give you and the glory of the kingdoms of this world. What does that next word say? Those next words. Have you read this before? For that is delivered unto me. They belong to me. You know what he said? They're mine. They're mine. They're mine to give. They're mine to give. This world belongs to Satan. World system, world attitude. It's an ungodly world. Ungodly without, it means without God. Ungodly world. Satan said, they're mine to give. To whomsoever I'll give it. Why hasn't he given it all? God's restrained him. Why didn't he give it to Alexander the Great? He couldn't conquer the world. God restrained him. Why didn't he give it to the Caesars? They couldn't conquer the world. God restrained them. Why didn't he give it to Hitler? All he had to do was cross that channel. England would have fallen. But God turned him around and sent him to Russia. And he whipped his fanny. That's right. God, he restrains things. Don't you see that? Satan's a god of this world. God's restraining it. And verse 7 says, if you worship me, it'll be yours. And that's exactly what men do. They worship Satan, and he pays them off. But he pays them off in counterfeit money. He pays them off in pleasures for a season. He pays them off in acclaim here, and applause here, and glory here. No glory there. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Who's the God of this world? John chapter 14. This is what the preachers, I don't know why, I do know why, but I'm not going to say. But they're not telling the truth. John 14 verse 30. Listen, this is our Lord Jesus Christ speaking. John 14 verse 30. Said to his disciples, verse 28, let's go back to verse 28. You've heard how I said unto you, I go away and I come again unto you. If you love me, you'd rejoice, because I said, I go unto my Father. My Father is greater than all. And now I've told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter, I'll not talk much with you, for the prince of this world, the king of this world, the god of this world cometh, and he hath nothing in me. But he came to Adam and found something, and Adam surrendered. But our second Adam, he came and Christ defeated him. And God is now calling out a people for his name, out of every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue, and people under heaven, out of these nations. But Satan's still the god of this world. Let me show you one more scripture, Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 2. Listen to this. Ephesians 2, verse 2. Let's read verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who is that? That's Satan. Prince of the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past. You and I. In times past. We did what he said to. Yes, we did. We did what Satan said to. We had our citizenship in his kingdom. We had our conversation and behavior under his control in times past in the lust of our flesh. Some of you look back, some of us look back over our lives and see a lot of things we wish we could change, but we can't change them because we was under a different management back then. And we made fools out of ourselves. And we did things disgusting, ungodly, and messed up our lives and a lot of our children's lives because we were under the control of that demon, Satan. That's right, children of wrath, fulfilling the lust of our flesh, the desires of our flesh, doing what felt good, tasted good, that we wanted to do, and of the mind. And we were by nature, not by election, not by God's covenant mercy, but by nature, by birth, we were children of wrath. God loved us, but we were unfound, uncalled, unregenerated, unsanctified. He loved us even when we were dead in trespasses and sin, but we were dead in trespasses and sin. He loved us even when we were following Satan, lock, stock, and barrel. But he loved us. That's right. But we were children of his judgment and wrath. That's right. That's the reason we suffer. Even as others. But the thing I want you to see there is that he's the prince of the power there. Satan is. And he has control. You talk about Hollywood and television, he controls that out there. You talk about these terrorists who use the name of Allah and God, he controls them. They're evil people who are controlled by Satan. You talk about everybody's God's children. Everybody's not God's children. Christ said, if God were your father, you'd love me. People who don't love Christ are not sons of God. They're not. They're of the father of the devil, Christ said. Didn't he say that in John 8? Turn to John chapter 8. Let's look at this. John the 8th chapter. Our Lord is speaking to these religious Pharisees. These religious leaders. These were Jews and see the sons of Abraham. These are sons of Abraham that blew these planes up. They're sons of Abraham, Cecil, every one of them. Fleshly sons of Abraham. Arabs are sons of Abraham. Muslims and Jews and all the rest of them. They're sons of Abraham. And here they are talking here. They say, verse 36, our Lord said, the Son therefore make you free. You'll be free indeed. I know you, Abraham's seed. But you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I've seen with my father. You do that which you have seen with your father. And they said, now Abraham's our father. Allah's our God. Christ said, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham, which were works of faith and righteousness. But now you seek to kill me. They seek to kill you. They seek to destroy this nation. A man that told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This Abraham didn't do. You do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself. He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You're of your father, the devil. He's your father. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. He's a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. The love of God, my friends, is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I told my class a while ago, I love my president. I pray for him. I believe he's got some understanding. I believe the people around him have some understanding. But he let me down and let all of you down at that memorial service the other day. He quoted Psalm 23. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, thou art with me. And my heart bubbled. Thank you for acknowledging he's my shepherd. And he came to Romans chapter 8, and he said, I'm persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature can separate us from the love of God. And I said, go on, please. Don't stop there. But he did. Because he couldn't offend the Islams and the Muslims and the Jews and all the rest of them. But the seven words that follow that, no one can separate me from the love of God, not death, not life, not angels, not principalities, not powers, not things present, nor things to come, from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ my Lord. I'm sorry. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father. If any man will honor me, Christ said, my Father will honor him. And that's sad. That's sad. You can't have God without Christ. I'm just sorry. I say that to every one of you. I'm not sorry either. I'm glad it's that way. I'm glad. What is God without a Savior? He's a destructive force. What is God without a Redeemer? He's a consuming fire. What is God without a blood offering? He's an angry God. That's right. Thank God for Christ. Thank God for Christ. But I'm telling you this, and I'll say this if they'd let me, I'll say it to the world, that this started in the garden. That's when this rebellion started. That's when we chose Satan and said no to God. The whole world, Adam's whole race, would be like God. It continued at the Tower of Babel. Our forefathers, way back yonder, said, we're going to go to heaven so we can run everything and start building a tower. That must have been some awesome, awesome undertaking. And God came down and confounded their languages and sent them scattered in every direction. He restrained it. God's got something to accomplish on this earth, and he could have destroyed them right there, just wiped the whole human race out. But he's got a people to redeem, a kingdom made up of every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue, redeemed by Christ, coming up. And then the trial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here stands God before him, his hands tied, crown of thorns on his head, blood streaming down his face, redeeming a people. And Pilate said, shall I crucify your king? They said, listen, we have no king but Caesar. God's not our king. Well, what shall I do with your king? Crucify him. Now, let me tell you something, my friends. The charge between this human race and God is not because they steal watermelons, not because they fight and fuss all the time, it's because they hate his son and nailed him to a cross. And then they said, let his blood be on us and all our children. We asked for it. And the Lord God lets man have his free will and his way. We love free. The people out trying to love free will. This is the results of our free will. We'll not bow to God. We'll not submit to God. We're going to have our way. Our way is a sorry way. It's the way of destruction. And so God hinders evil. He holds it in check. He said, the wrath of man is going to praise the Lord. And the rest of it, I'm going to restrain. The whole city of New York is not flat down this month because God restrained it to three buildings. Is that not right? You know that's right. You know that's right. He said of Pharaoh, I raised him up. I raised him up to show my power. Pharaoh was a bad character. He mistreated God's people something awful. But out of it all came the Exodus. Out of it all came the victory. Out of it all came the crowning of David. That's my message for you this morning. And that's my answer to all these questions. And I want you to do what the noble Bereans did. I want you to take these scriptures and these comments and the Bible and go home and see if I'm telling the truth. The noble Bereans heard Paul the Apostle, the greatest preacher God ever let live. And you know what those fellows did? They went home and searched the scriptures to see if these things are so. They're so. And my heart is overjoyed and thrilled this morning that our God is not Satan. Our God is not this world. Our God is our Lord Jesus Christ, enthroned in glory, who's expecting till all these enemies become his footstool. And one day, maybe soon, the Spirit of God's going to let them have it. Let them have the whole world. God's restraining hand's going to be lifted. He's going to turn them over to themselves. And I don't want to be here. And I don't plan to be here by God's grace. He's going to take us home and let them have it. Let them have it.